Hello, Lifebook VIPs. John Butcher here. Today I've got the privilege to interview a couple of my very dearest friends, Lifebook members Garrett and Carrie Gunderson. You probably know Garrett as one of the smartest and most successful financial advisors in the Lifebook community. He's a best-selling author, world-renowned speaker, founder of Freedom Fast Track, and a lot of other companies. But what you may not know about Garrett and Carrie is that they've got one of the most extraordinary love relationships we've ever seen. And they consciously built that love relationship together after going through Lifebook. Their love story is really remarkable, and Missy and I have had the privilege of watching it unfold year by year to transform into what has just become a passionate, loving, romantic partnership. And I'm sure that you're going to find their story fascinating and valuable as well. So it's my pleasure to welcome Lifebook members Garrett and Carrie Gunderson to the call. Hello, Garrett and Carrie. So glad to have you here today.
Good to be connecting with you, John.
Hey, Carrie. So let's start with Garrett. I met you first. I met you before I met Carrie. Joe Polish introduced us, right?
Right. You and I emailed back and forth, got on the phone, and then shortly after, Carrie and I came to Lifebook, but I actually came to Chicago to record my Nightingale Conan program and had brunch with you and Missy.
That's right. That's where we first met. And I remember after you guys went through Lifebook, you called me up and told me that there were two specific categories that you wanted to focus on. Why don't you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I felt like I had this, what I would call excellence ethic and a high commitment level in life to live more extraordinarily. But after going through Lifebook, I thought that health and fitness, I was average or maybe a little bit above average, which was much below average on my other standard. And then my love relationship, I thought was pretty, probably above average in the world, but definitely below average to my standards.
Right. And those were the two categories you told me you were just going to crush. And man, you did that in both of those categories. It was really shocking, the commitment level you brought, and I watched you completely transform over the next couple of years. You dug into health and fitness and really made that happen, and you ended up totally transforming your love relationship. Like you guys have one of the most loving, romantic, awesome love relationships that Missy and I have ever seen. I'd love to talk about the differences between where you guys were then and where you are now. How would you describe where you were, you know, 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, this is probably like the 2008-2009 time frame, and my book and my business and getting that out there. And it was, I didn't really have a vision for what it meant to be a husband or what it meant to have an extraordinary marriage. And, you know, it felt kind of like Carrie was trying to convince me the importance of family, and I was trying to convince her the importance of the vision of my business, and that we were conflicted. We didn't have a lot of structure to that. We didn't have a lot of rules for success there, so to speak. We didn't have a shared commitment and vision. It was like we were kind of doing our own thing and not working as much as a team, ultimately. And I think going through life, when we first got married to where we are now, we're just a lot more clear about our values. And so some of it was really getting clear about what that was as a couple. And some of those things were, you guys were so instrumental in walking us through, helping us through that, having conversations, and obviously sitting down through Lifebook and going through those things. But let me, you know, like, we definitely had some tough times. I mean, some, you know, just arguments, some like disconnects. And I'll tell you, the low point for me was like whenever things weren't going really well with Carrie and I just kind of withdraw to protect myself. And the way that she saw it is that I was being mean. And I remember we're having a conversation and I said, so, you know, when it comes down to being married, what's different than you thought it was going to be? And she goes, I just really thought that you were going to baby me, and I really thought that you were going to protect me, and ultimately, I just think that you're a flat-out mean sometimes. And dude, that was a dagger. That was just brutal to hear.
Yeah, I mean, we had come to kind of to our end. We were in Park City for a summer, and we had all this pressure on us because we were trying to change things in our life for our health. And that basically came down to me changing our whole family and Garrett changing himself. But we weren't really communicating or supporting each other on our end of the deal. And so that ultimately came down to being stress between us and tension between us. And so when he would withdraw from me, I felt like he would make remarks that were like kind of mean to me, but they weren't like anything that I would like bite back on. It was just like, oh, that kind of hurt, but you just kind of let it roll off your shoulders. But when that happens over and over, I think over time I couldn't see it. I would sit down and think, why are we not connected? Why do I feel like I don't want to tell him things or come to him? Or why does he feel like something big will happen in his life and he's not coming to me first to share with me or to have me help him through it? And I could not figure out what it was. And then one day we got in an argument, or we were sitting with some of my friends and we got in an argument, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, oh my God, I get it. I feel like he's kind of mean to me. And after we had that conversation and I said that to Garrett, he kind of went quiet and for a while. And that was kind of like our first shifting point. Once we kind of accepted that was one of our things, that was our first thing that really made a huge impact on us, was him accepting what I said to him and being able to move forward with that, but me also standing up for what I thought and claiming that and saying that to him. I mean, that's not easy to say to somebody that you love and that you know would do anything for you, but really being able to stand up in your truth is a challenge sometimes.
I mean, look, man, I'd never been in love before Carrie. I'd been, you know, in very short relationships, and I know this will be shocking, but my nickname was Gunderslut in college, so, you know, like, I gotta tell you, it's really hard to be that open and that trusting for me, that just like, you know, all right, I'm just gonna be totally vulnerable with Carrie and let her know that I'm like 100% in. I know even being married is one sign of it, but it's like different to say, I'm going to trust this person with my innermost feelings, and I'm going to be totally open to the point where, you know, if I, like, in business, if I do something and someone rejects me or says something negative, it's expected that that happens at some time, and it gives me more motivation, power, and passion to a certain degree. But in a marriage, it's like, this is scary as shit. And if totally embraced and she doesn't adore me, that's the word, John, like, I want her to adore me, right? And if I'm not totally adored, then what does that say about me, who can triumph in any other thing, but why not my marriage? Because there's so much more emotion and so much more, like, I could be illogical there because love was involved.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, man. And so what just came through so loud and clear is your first real breakthrough was around communication. That is the key. That is absolutely the differentiator between functional, wonderful relationships and toxic, lousy relationships. Here's what Nathaniel Brandon, here's the way Nathaniel Brandon puts it, and I've got this right in front of me because it was in my audio this month for love. He says, the question when it comes to communicating effectively in a love relationship is, do you create a context in which your partner can feel free to share feelings, thoughts, fantasies, hurts, and complaints without the fear that you're going to condemn or attack or lecture or simply withdraw? He said, that's the question. That's the big question. And it sounds like right at that moment, Carrie, when you stood up and said that to Garrett, he accepted it, and a communication started in your relationship, and that's when the whole thing began to shift.
Yeah, that was just huge that I could say something so raw and him not freak out and be defensive and say, I'm not that way, or the only reason I'm that way is because you make me feel this way.
You know, it was a catch 22. If I got mad, you would, you're like, yeah. See what I mean? I'm screwed.
I mean, that was a really big thing, and it made me realize, like, a huge part in our relationship where the communication had broken down is that I didn't share my truth when I was frustrated or when he would suggest something, even something fun for us to do, let's go do this. If it's not something I'm really into, I'd be like, okay, but I'm only half into it. Instead of just saying, you know, that's not something I really want to do. You should go do that with your friends and let's do this instead. Like, a huge thing for me is, and still I have to constantly check in with this, is that I am stating my truth and I'm saying, yes, I want to do that. No, I don't. Or yes, I like that. Or no, I don't. And he is really receptive to that. And that's made a huge difference in every area of our life, especially our love relationship.
When I decided and declared to you, dude, I'm going to take this to another level, I had a success formula in my business that I actually applied to the marriage that was transformative. I'm happy to share some of that success formula as we go through this, but there are also some conversations with you and Missy that were instrumental. One, I don't know if you remember, we ate at that place right at kitty corner from your condo, and I talked to you guys for a couple hours, and I just asked question after question. I was open about where I was in my marriage. You guys really gave me some guiding principles. Two, we did that whole commitment ceremony out at your house in Chicago.
Go into that a little bit. And why you did it, what you did, and why you decided to do that.
So first of all, look, in any area of our life, like if we're not intentional and deliberate, so let's say we look at relationships in the world, right? There's certain relationships in my life that as time's gone on, I've made a distinction of who am I going to be friends with and who am I going to be friendly with. People I'm friends with, I invite into my life and I say yes to their invitations. People I'm friendly with, I always say no because we don't share the same values. And so what I did is I said, who are the people that I think have an extraordinary love relationship? And I made a list and I said, you and Missy. Like that is just, I've seen you guys over and over for extended periods of time on some of the trips. I mean, it is the real deal. That love relationship, I was like, I want to be around you guys. Number two, Patrick and Lori, you know? I just felt like they had really dialed in, and same with David and Nicole. So we came out to your house. We brought in Sean Stevenson. We had a great dinner that you guys provided, and we're extra generous. And we basically declared our love in front of you guys as saying, hey, you guys have gone before us. We're going to consider you guys guides and mentors, and we're going to have a public display of this. We're going to come out here and not just keep it in my head, not just a conversation between you and I, John, but something where Carrie and I went out there, and then we had a second honeymoon in Chicago, which may be the most over-the-top thing anyone's ever done for us, is what you and Missy did, man. We opened that box and just went from card to card, and literally that may have been the greatest week of my life. I don't know if it was for you too. I mean, it is seriously something that we look on so fondly, and we were such like young kids, couldn't keep our hands off each other type thing.
And I'm gonna tell you guys this right now. I remember that was sort of right at the start of you two just completely transforming your love relationship, and I'll never forget how much love there was that weekend with all of us. It was just like this love high, and I and Miss and I both looked at you two and said, they're going to kill it. Those two are on their way. They're going to crush it. And, I mean, it was just so obvious because the commitment was so deep and strong for you to have decided to publicly declare what you were going to create together in that kind of a way. It was like you were unstoppable at that point. That's how we felt.
Yeah, man. And you know what? There's also like the time where you and Missy talked to us about what about putting, you know, yourselves first above your kids. There's also the time where you helped us like with the conversation with Carrie about having a nanny. I mean, these were things that created the value system and also the priority system that could be lived out because we had a chance. And dude, we just barely got back from Ireland, London, and Amsterdam, where we went away, just the two of us. We met up with some friends and stuff out there, but no kids. And now we have this thing where we're away from our kids 14 days abroad, there's 14 nights any year where we're off overseas, you know, basically with our love relationship. And last year's was right around our anniversary. Carrie said it's maybe her most fond memory. We went to the British Virgin Islands. I think we went, or right after that, we went to Rome, you know. And so we've got some other killer trips planned this summer. But we really, every single week, John, we go on a date night.
We're going to talk about date night. And we're going to talk about the amazing habits that you guys have installed that have made it so that your love relationship can flourish. But I don't want to leave what you just brought up, which is putting each other first before your kids, without going a little bit deeper into that, because Because I remember where you were when we were in Bali together. I remember where you guys were, and that's when Missy was having the conversations with Carrie about nannies. And, you know, a lot of couples can't conceive, they can't comprehend putting each other before the kids. It doesn't seem right to them. It doesn't seem like that would be the right thing to do as a parent, because they don't understand the amazing, unbelievable positive effect that an extraordinary love relationship has on children. When they look at that and when they see that, how safe they feel and how they don't feel like they're being somehow, something's being taken away from them. When you shifted your priorities to each other, how did that positively affect your children and your relationship with your children? I think this is so incredibly important for Lifefoot couples to hear.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, Garrett, I think, grabbed onto making us the first priority right away. He was like, cool, done. You know, we're the number one. But that was a lot harder for me, as I'm sure it is for a lot of other mothers. It was a lot harder for me to figure in how do I become a loving, supportive mom and make my kids feel important, but also put Garrett number one. And that took me a couple months, or maybe even longer, to kind of find that balance. But the first thing for me definitely was getting a nanny, and that was huge for me. I would have never in a million years ever thought I would ever get a nanny. Like, never. And
our kids are with the nanny as we speak.
and
by the way, guys, I know you're on date night tonight, so thanks for taking this hour to share with the Lifefoot community while you're on date night. We really appreciate it.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, so the key was for me, like, and Missy gave me great advice. She said, you need to write down every single thing that you want in a nanny, every characteristic, how you want her to be, everything. And I'm not joking. I came home from that trip and I wrote it all down, and I was looking on nanny websites, couldn't find anybody, and there was this one girl's profile that I loved, but she lived in Minneapolis, and I was like, dang it, her personality is so much like me. I feel like she would kind of take care of my kids the same way as me. And it was funny because she emailed me and was like, I'm moving to Salt Lake, I would love to interview for your nanny position. And I was like, holy shit, this girl lives in Minneapolis.
When she eventually moved back to Minneapolis after being our nanny for years, she sat in her car bawling, Carrie sat in the kitchen bawling, and she still checks in on our kids. You know, our number one criteria is we wanted someone that could love our kids. That's the number one criteria. And, you know, and Carrie just really, that was a... I always joked, I'm like, man, Amber is a better nanny than I could ever be a dad. She is so focused and constantly with the kids. Like, I'm good in spurts. Let's wrestle around. Let's have fun, right? But, man, thank you that you guys sat down and had that conversation with us in Bali, you know?
And I really think it's funny. Having a nanny really enriched my kids' life in the sense that it was somebody new that had new ideas and somebody who was refreshed to go and play with them. And then I got to go get my stuff done and come back refreshed. So nanny was huge for us, and then also me just making the intention of making us number one. Even though in the beginning I wasn't buying into it, it was like, okay, I'm going to go through the emotions and see how it feels to do this in the beginning. And it becomes easier and easier, and I do see that my boys, I mean, me and Garrett will stand in the kitchen, and if we're hugging or we're kissing, my kids are just staring at us like, beaming the whole time, or they'll come up and they'll hug us and we'll have like a big group hug and they're like, I love you guys so much. Like, they, it was like the love just expanded that much more in our family.
People just don't understand the unbelievable positive effect that it has on children to see their parents the most important thing in each other's lives. That's such a stability. They feel so safe, they feel so solid and grounded.
Even my boys are so getting the picture on how to treat women. Like, Garrett goes out of town, I'm not joking you. Roman is like, okay, we got to take care of the queen. And they are taking care of me the whole time. Mom, do you need this? Mom, are you okay? Mom, like, they're helping me just as much, taking care of me. And I know that that's going to be passed on to their wives and to their daughters and all of that. So that's really powerful. My sons really get that daddy chooses me first and I choose daddy first. They can't play us against each other, but also they realize like how to nurture a female.
That's beautiful.
So it's powerful.
And I think, you know, the typical challenge to put each other first, which is very, very rare to begin with, is, you know, that most men put their careers before their marriage. Most women put their children before their marriage. And I think both of those things change very quickly in your relationship. Like you said, Carrie, Garrett just, and Garrett does this. I mean, Garrett is so incredibly intentional that he can, this is a skill that most people don't possess. He's just like, I'm going to do that. That's done. Garrett, why don't you talk a little bit about your side of it, about, you know, how you went from really being extra focused on your career, immersed in it, to where you guys are right now with your love relationship.
Well, I had this great gift or glimpse in this, and it didn't seem like a gift at the time, but June 9th of 2006, I had two business partners that died in a plane crash. And 4 months later, after gaining about 22 pounds, after going to work at 5 a.m. and coming home, and my wife was probably asleep or tired, and definitely my son was asleep, and we were finally like driving to go to my hometown to go to Thanksgiving, and she let me know that I was extraordinary with business and extraordinary as a speaker, but I was just ordinary as a father, is what she said. But if I'm an ordinary father, that also means I'm an ordinary husband in that moment, because of all the same reasons I was an ordinary father, I was an ordinary husband. And so by her saying that, within 6 days, I was officing from home. And John, literally December of 06 and January of 06, or January of 07, may have been the most productive time of my life, because I'm spending quality time with my family, telling people, hey, if you got problems, just figure it out at the office. I'm not going to be answering my phone. I got to focus. So I'm spending time with the family. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling energized. I wrote Killing Sacred Cows from like midnight to 3 in the morning because I was so energized from hanging out with my family. I had believed on a superficial level that you could have it all from the standpoint of, you know, have a great business and have a great marriage and be a great father. But I had a subconscious belief that that was bullshit. I had a subconscious belief that it was impossible. And it was a contradiction in my life, because here I am, a motivational speaker in a lot of ways, and on the radio. Dude, when she called me out, I stopped doing the radio that next day. We played recordings. I said, I got to get this right in my life. And to actually have this energy and this clarity, one thing is I realized, abundance means saying no a lot of times so you can open up the right yeses, you know? And that ultimately, when we take care of ourselves, which has to do with relaxation, rejuvenation, it has to do with exercise and health, it has to do with spending time with our family, it has to do with quality of life. Ultimately, we can show up as a different person in another area of our life. And so, just like it's important to have a nanny, because if we're our greatest assets and our relationship is this precious asset, if we don't protect that and create time to cultivate it, it dies. And so, you know, I've had enough evidence in this world, and like I could look at you guys and say, dude, John and Misty get quality of life. So I could try to question every reason why quality of life doesn't work, or I could just say, here's someone who gets it. Let me ask them profound questions. Let me sit down with them any chance I could get. And when I ask them the questions, I'm just going to go implement it, because I've already seen the fruits. I've already seen what they're able to accomplish. And so this is what I've done in my own life. And you know what? I just declare it. Like, In my marriage, John, before this happened, I had just a mediocre vision of marriage overall, because you did the study in Life Book that said what's the most common category for a successful love relationship, and it had everything to do with a combined vision. Well, in understanding that, I just said, I'm going to make a declaration. I'm going to be a premier romantic and an extraordinary husband. So what does the premier romantic do? Well, my date nights aren't just, let's go hang out. It's what a premier romantic would do. It means I read the article that says, here's the 10 essential things. I can't remember what you called that article. But, dude, I literally bought everything.
You went out and you got the candles. You got the bathtub. You got the fry. You did every single thing on that list.
I bought a jam box because it said to buy a jam box. I bought, I got the playlist. I mean, I didn't leave anything off. I was like, all 10, check, 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 and I'm gonna say, what are my 10? I'm taking those 10. What are the next 10 that I could, you know, because that's what a premier romantic would do, and it's been fun as hell, man. That has been fun.
This life development stuff that we're doing really works. It really works if you implement it, and you guys are just absolute shining examples of that. These strategies, You know, I think Albert Einstein said that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing you've been doing and expect a different result. If you want something to change in your life, you've got to do something new. Things have results. And I mean, I remember you got a condo in the city, right? You sexed it up. You implemented all these strategies, and you decided to become...
I went and took the pictures, dude. I went and took the pictures of my flexed back, like my name was John Butcher. I painted the wall red. We put candles everywhere. I got the oils by Judith Jackson. I got the sugar scrubs. You name it, dude. And I got my... We got our scent that we have for the apartment. We got our scent that we have for the house. Those are separate scents that let you know it's on, right? I mean, the whole deal.
Let's talk about date night, because to me, date night, which you guys implemented, way back, I think, when you originally made the commitment, that was one of the
yep.
first things we talked about. To me, and I don't, you know, put my stuff on other people, but I secretly believe that date night, you can't even walk into the room to sit down at the table to begin to talk about having an extraordinary love relationship if you're not taking at least one night a week together, and preferably overnight, so that you can be completely free to enjoy each other. And you guys have just completely cranked that strategy up in your relationship. Carrie, talk a little bit about date night from your perspective, because mothers don't think they can do it.
Right. It's hard, but I tell you, like, once you have date night and you go a couple times, I would look so forward to it. Okay, but first we used to do it on Wednesday nights. Now it's Monday, but we were doing it at Wednesday nights originally, and I'd just be like, oh my God, I cannot wait for Wednesday night. Because it would be like a chance for me and Garrett to laugh and talk about funny stuff that happened when neither of us were around I don't know, just any time for us to just connect emotionally and in conversation and kind of get back to that place. Like, sometimes when we're together, we'll be like, now why did we used to fight sometimes, or this or that? I mean, you just start to realize how you ever got together in the first place. It's almost like you go back to dating, and it's really fun. You're goofy, you're flirting, you're you do your hair the way that they like it, and it's fun. It's really fun to see the reaction of your husband when you come out and he knows that you're wearing that because he likes it, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. It's just really fun. Just to take the time.
To think that couples, after they get married, some couples just never experience that again. They just don't experience it anymore. It's like, I couldn't imagine that. I tell Missy every single time we go on a date night, damn, woman, you are smoking hot tonight. That's the whole point. That's the whole idea. And that reconnection, and that, you're right, it is like dating again. And the other side of it is that the kids have a blast, because the kids are with the nanny, or the kids are going to Chuck E. Cheese's, or whatever we've got for them to do that evening. They're going to miss us, which is great, but they're going to have fun. And when we get together again, it's just that much happier for the family. There's just no downside to it.
The kids only miss out on like 2 hours of being with you. Like, you go on your date at 6, they're in bed by 7:30 or 8. Like, that's no time. That's how long it takes me to go grocery shopping and go to the department store. I mean, that's nothing.
Good point. So, Garrett, I'd like to hear from you about what you said is that you had some strategies that you pulled in from your business to apply to your love relationship. I did not know that, and I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
All right, so I haven't really shared this, but maybe with two or three people one-on-one, so I'm excited to share it in a more public format. But I decided that if I looked at the other areas or other categories of life book that I'm dialed in with, that there was a formula, that there was a consistency in all those other areas, okay? And so I just called it my success formula. And then I just literally in my journal wrote down my success formula. So here's one of the success formulas that I've always had for me personally, and this is different for everyone, but for me, I pay attention to that which I pay for. And so I've always had, whether it's a board of directors, whether it's a personal mentor, whether it's a coaching program like Strategic Coach, I've always been involved in something where I'm writing a check and I have specific times to be meeting with someone on how to advance my business. So I said, in my marriage, we've never done that, so we hired a guy by the name of Dino Watt. He has a program called The Business of Marriage. So we would meet like twice a month initially, now it's once a month, and we would just go over things, systems for success in marriage, dealing with emotional issues where he would just, you know, be able to hear it out and help us solve it faster. It's nice, John, it's a place where we're expected to have those conversations on, you know, before date night a lot of times, so that we can just, it's not something that builds up over time and becomes a fight, or it's not something that isn't intentional and that eventually creeps up on you. We're proactively seeking it out, and we don't miss it because we're writing a check for it, and we have a specific time to meet with someone to go over this. And, you know, lately it's mostly about what's our future vision. That's what most of the meetings are now. Like, some of the meetings he's like, I don't know how to coach you guys anymore. You guys are doing great. But literally when we started, he was like, okay, you'll be okay. You know, there's some work to do here, but you guys will be fine.
That's really great. That's a wonderful strategy, Garrett. And I'll tell you, the three things that I've really noticed in you two that I think have created the change, that have created all the passion and the just how in love and romantic you are with each other, the differences between where you were and where you are now, number one, I'd say, is communication. You guys mm-hmm. That's what created this whole thing. That's what the commitment, the communication. Number two is the connection that you have now that is just totally different than the connection that you used to have. And number three, you guys have a shared vision. You've got a shared vision for your life. You've got a shared vision for your parenting, for your love relationship. That's the solid combination that leads to the extraordinary love that you guys have now.
Yeah, and you know, it's like this, just having that much intention in it initially created a roller coaster effect where we have highs and lows, because before we just kind of, you know, went through life, but the highs are so much higher and we don't have nearly the lows anymore. Like we figured that out. And you know, look, date night, I have a system for that. Like, number one, I get Carrie a really nice card and I personally write in it. And that starts usually early in the day where I leave it for her, or I give it to her to start date night. So it kind of sets a good mood. The next thing is sometimes, John, those cards have a picture of some high heels on it or have a picture of a dress, because I'm letting her know, hey, we're dressing up tonight. This is that kind of date night. Because sometimes, like, we're going hiking for, like, that's what we're going to do today for date night, you know. So it just depends. But dude, I have right now in my phone, let's see, I think this is about 120 date night ideas. So anytime I see something that's killer, I put it in here. I can always be deliberate.
That's very cool. Let's talk about sex for a minute. One of my favorite subjects, Missy and I both. But you know what? We sex is so important to our relationship, to intimacy, connection, that we literally refer to it as Category 13. And someday, I mean, I haven't told many people that, just a couple. Now I guess the cat's out of the bag. But someday we.
You did promise that you'd tell me about Category 13 sometime, so you haven't, but you promised it. Yeah.
So I want to talk about one particular aspect of sex that I think is kind of strange to people when they hear it. I haven't actually talked about this before, but I've mentioned it, and it just hits people as strange. But I know that you'll completely get this, and I've never had a conversation about it. So here it is. It's about having planned sex dates. So I know without even having to ask you guys that your date nights are about sex. That's one of the things that they're going to be about, one of the most important things that they'll revolve around. So you have sex planned into your week, and you can look forward to it. And talk a little bit about that, because that's been something that has just been such an awesome thing for Missy and I. Again, it's like Carrie was saying, it's an oasis in the middle of the week. You look forward to it. The anticipation builds all the way up to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's... So when it comes to date night, then we know that that's a part of date night. And ultimately, there's times where I've got the apartment set up certain ways as part of that deal, you know. And, you know, and the thing is, we've even kind of categorized it as, you know, sometimes sex is just about a quickie. Other times it's more home cooking, meaning we're going to go for it. But then other times it's like totally gourmet, which is typically a date night type experience, right? No kids around, like get dressed up, the whole deal. And so for me, my love language, so to speak, is definitely physical touch. So sex is extraordinarily important for me in feeling loved and expressing love and in connectedness and intimacy. And Carrie absolutely knows that, you know, is like my language.
And Carrie, how is it for you as a woman to have literally what comes down to regularly scheduled sex nights? How is that experience for you?
Well, for me, especially like as a mom, when you feel like you're overwhelmed or you have tons to do or whatever, it's like, you know, going into date night, you've kept enough energy or whatever so that you're not like exhausted by the time date night rolls around. It's like, I know me and Garrett are going to have a date. I'm going to want to be there and be present and not be tired. And so like, it's nice to all day know like that's coming. I can like mentally be ready for it. And like, instead of like exhausting all of my resources or whatever out on my kids, it's like, I know I'm going to have this one part of me that's kind of set aside for me and Garrett for that night and make sure that I'm ready. And I think it's nice to know that it's coming, I guess. Like for me, a big thing, since it is date night and it's something, like you said, like a little more gourmet, I think as a parent and as a woman, it's nice to know that in advance sometimes.
Totally. You can be ready to bring it. That's exactly right.
A game. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, my nanny comes at like 3:00. It gives me time to, I can take a shower, I can make my hair nice, I can wear what I want, and I kind of have like a little bit of time to myself before I go out to date night, so I'm kind of rested. I'm not like
I'm
going
a lot
from...
to prepare for, John. You gotta save a big piece, you know, to keep up.
I'm not going straight from the kids pulling on me to date night. I have like time to kind of transition into being a mom. And then I get to transition into being a wife.
And the coolest date night thing that I know of that we do is just red wine on the couch beforehand, which is just openness, talking, connecting. And as we drink the red wine, we take the conversations pretty deep sometimes. You feel totally connected, and then, you know, then we go into another room.
That's awesome. That's just so great. I mean, do you guys agree with me that date night is maybe the single most powerful love relationship strategy there is, or if not the single most, at least in like the top three?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say that is right up there with just communication, having a space where you can be open together, and that, and having that creates the opportunity to have date night just be incredible.
And Carrie told me, John, that one of the things that makes her feel important is date night. It makes her feel important that we do date night. So if that's the case, Here's the dudes that are listening right now, and your girls will probably nudge you. Own date night. Don't expect them to do anything. This is where I'm the man. I take on date night. I say, this is what we're doing, and I take charge in it. Now, she can have input through the week if she wants, but I own that night. She doesn't have to worry about planning it. She doesn't have to worry about what we're doing. She knows I got it taken care of, right?
Yeah, I just show up in the attire that I'm supposed to wear. Dressy, casual, whatever. That's all I have to do.
And then when she finds out what it's about, are we cooking from the aphrodisiac guide that you guided me to? Are we, you know, where are we going? What are we doing? You know, I'm coming up with all sorts of killer ideas that I can't wait. Like, dude, if she leaves the room, I will share what next week's date night is, because it's so off the charts. Hopefully it'll raise the bar for everybody listening, because it's a game changer.
Carrie, in a couple minutes.
You want me to step out?
Yes.
Okay, I'll come get you. Okay. Make sure, go far. You don't want it. I know you don't want the surprise ruined, okay? Okay, so check this out. Next week is our 11th anniversary. So, John, one of the things that sucks about the world today is that music now, when you go to any event where you're dressed up elegantly, let's say a wedding, they don't even play slow songs anymore. It's always about, like, stupid disco music half the time and the current rap songs, which... Look, man, if I want to go that, I'm going to go to a club in Vegas. I'm not going to a wedding. So what I did was I hired a string quartet. They're going to play a playlist. We invited 10 couples. You guys were on the invitation list, but are going to be out of the country or something, right? And we're going to have We're going to have dinner where people share their best practices with their marriage during dinner. We're going to show our wedding video, and then we've got these gorgeous lights strung out everywhere in this amazing atrium, and then we're going to go back to the same hotel of our wedding night where I've got all sorts of killer things planned for that, like everything from, I can't even go into that, but it's killer. Just trust me on that one. No, the only thing she knows is that entire day, I bought her a 6-hour spa treatment. She's going to the spa, the nanny's taking care of the kids, and dude, I'm gonna write her a song on the guitar and perform it that night in front of everybody as part of this deal. So that's what a premier romantic does, dude. Just like a premier romantic, you know, has buttons that you push that turn romance and have a special scent through their apartment. And, you know, you're my leader. You're my guide in this. So I thought you'd be happy to hear where I'm up to.
I love it, man. Makes me need to step up my game.
So we'll be slow dancing that night. We'll be sharing great times with friends. And, dude, I mean, I'm about 4 times over budget on the thing, but it's like, I figured it's an investment, man. It's an investment in something critically important. And John, I look at the world differently now. When there's a business opportunity that comes up, I'm unwilling to take on something that's going to harm this that I've created with my wife. I don't care what kind of money's in it. I don't care whatever. If it's going to be a long-term distraction, if it's going to infringe on quality of life, I see that as a damage to my life, not an enhancement.
That's beautiful. Go get your wife, man.
Yeah. Karen. She's coming in. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's the.
You back, Carrie?
Carrie's back.
Okay.
It wasn't really that big a deal, Carrie.
Oh, I'm sure. Doesn't sound like it was.
I appreciate you spending this time with me so much. I'm just so proud of where you guys have taken things. You're just like setting the bar as high as I've ever seen it set. Do you have anything else to share with the community before we sign off here?
Yeah, I want to say just a couple things. We've done Lifebook more than once, so I think that, you know, people get into different phases of life and it makes sense to go through another time, because as you get more clear about your premise, as you get more clear about your purpose, I mean, you're going to find evolution. You know, all of this, I think, is hard easy, not easy hard. Most of the world kind of does the easy things, and then life gets harder when they neglect it. But it was hard for us to make this declaration and to take these steps and to be this open up and you know, confront some of these things. I think having mentors, and you know, John, I just went on without any guidance and started buying books and audios. The stuff that you guys were sharing in the Lifebook community, I bought any book that was on the love relationship side, you know, whether it was from David Data or whoever else. And then ultimately, I think just like in a business, you have to have a vision. You have to have a vision for love relationship and take personal responsibility. And then we do this weekly meeting that I think is really cool, because you create good habits like that for communication as well. And then we just have created some really nice traditions and rules, right? So we have these rules that, hey, we're gonna do this amount of trips and this amount of travel where it's together. And then we get other people excited and enrolled in it so that they can live this in their life, so we can spend time with other people that are stepping up their game, just like us spending time with you guys. So, and then eventually getting on an interview like this, as you teach it, I think it crystallizes ultimately, and then I capture the ideas and I ask the people and I share the successes, and you know, I show gratitude for the whole thing. But I think the biggest piece of advice I'd give is progress not perfection. I mean, Carrie and I still have times where we have communication breakdowns, but then we create better rules or we create better structures to learn those lessons. And ultimately, when someone gets on the other side of this, it's just so worth it. I mean, it's so worth it, and it's just so enriching, and it's so much fun, and it's like, it's just exciting. Like, I can't wait for tonight's awesome. Can't wait for next week. I'm just so excited. I'm like, the week can't go through fast enough for this to happen. And I mean, I just hope people understand how profound it was for me when Carrie said one of the top things that makes her feel important is date night. Like, that means she wants to put her best foot forward for me that night. I want to do the same for her. I want to sweep her off her feet. I want to baby her. I want to take care of her. And I want to just have this extraordinary love affair that, you know, just like, oh, and one last piece of advice. Sorry, I know I'm talking a lot. This is what I tend to do. But another big thing was, you know, we've all done stupid crap in our life, I would imagine. I definitely did. Like, you know, I would say things that were hurtful to Carrie maybe, or I did things that were, you know, like, that weren't what an extraordinary husband would do. So when I made that declaration, part of it is we got to follow through on that, but also we've got to break down some walls. So I actually started doing this thing with Carrie. I'm like, remember when I said this? Remember when I did that? Can we forget about that? Whoever said that was stupid. It's not the Garrett of today. It was a scarcity dumbass back in the day that I put him to rest, and are you cool with trusting me moving forward? And I think that that's really valuable, to break down some of those walls and also acknowledge things that maybe could become repeating bad habits or bad patterns or doubt that's in someone's head.
That's an interesting, and it seems like it would be a very effective strategy.
I do like it when I do that.
I love it because it's like the acknowledgement of, like, I made this mistake and maybe that broke down a little bit of trust when this happened or this or that. And sometimes it's just something silly in a conversation. He'll just text me later and be like, when I said that, can I just have a do-over? I didn't mean that. I was frustrated or I was tired or this or that. And it just clears the air, like, I said that. It's like you're being accountable for it, but that wasn't really me or that wasn't how I felt. And it makes it easy to just let it go. Yes, definitely. I love that role.
Carrie, do you have any final word to share with the community about how this whole experience has been for you, or any advice?
I would just say, like Garrett said, that in the beginning, sometimes it can be a little bit of a roller coaster. I think, you know, whenever you put something in the spotlight and you start picking it apart, sometimes there's things there that you don't want to see, you know, but you have to confront it and move through it. And I promise it gets so much better. But in the beginning, sometimes it can be a little bit of a roller coaster. Your highs and then there's lows, and just know that that's all part of it. But on the other side, it is so much better than it ever was before. And I did not believe that. I was like, no way, because me and Garrett were like on cloud 9. I felt like the first 7 years we were married, like, awesome. And I didn't think we could ever get back there. But it's so much deeper now that it's true. But sometimes in the beginning, you just have to trust and be vulnerable and just put it all out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you guys got there because you earned it, and you deserve it because you made the commitment and you did the work and you worked through it and you developed the habits, and you did what it takes to create an extraordinary love relationship. Miss and I have been together for 23 years now. And I can tell you, it just gets better and better and better and better. So that's what you guys can expect.
I'm glad that's great news for sure.
All right, guys. Well, it's been so good to talk to you. Thanks so much for spending this time. I won't take any more of your time on date night. Have a fantastic time. We love you guys. And just thanks again.
Yeah,
thanks, John.
Thanks for your example and for putting your sole purpose out there in the world, and for being a stand for our relationship and helping me get where I've gotten through it. You know, you were definitely the catalyst. So, and then also a lot of those key components, man, that were not easy conversations, and you and Missy just were the example and just relentless about this is how it is. And man, it has proved to be that way.
It sure has, Garrett, and I've got so much pride in that because you two are setting the bar as high as it's ever been set, and I just love watching it. So thanks again. Have fun on your date night.
All right, man.
See you, John.
Take care. Bye-bye.